This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, we call this meeting to order. It is 12:19 p.m. We are in B12 Day Hall. This is the Employee Assembly meeting for Wednesday, January 20th, 2010. I'm going to do the roll call. David Brooks.
Here.
Pempa Duncow.
Here.
Tanya Grove.
Here.
Linda Kroll-Howell.
Here.
Ned LaSalle has emailed me and said he is not able to make the meeting. Leon Lawrence.
I'm guessing he's
been keeping hope. Yeah. Alan Mittman. Is there too? Leslie Morris.
Here.
Gemma Osborne.
Here.
Tim Ostrander.
Here.
Celie Phillips.
Here.
Jason Seymour, present. Gary Stewart. Beth McKinney is not present.
Staff at the Board of Trustees meeting.
Oh, right now?
In New York. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Today.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Talent show. Yeah.
Oh,
we also have Ben Hevener from GPSA present. We have Peggy, Gallery, Ari, Amy. All right. Do we have any late additions to the agenda? Okay. We do not have any official business of the day. Beth is not here. We just established at the trustees meeting, so I'm sure she will have a big report for us at the next meeting. Alan Mittman is not present, so we don't have a report from the faculty senate liaison. So it's on to me, a report from the chair. As you may have seen in email this morning, our CARE fund resolution has been officially submitted to the president. I did look up that we do need our charter amendments to be approved by him, or subject to his approval, which I'm not expecting any problems with that. So hopefully he will get back to us within the week or so. Usually it would probably be a few sentences, and when I hear back from him, I will forward that all off to everybody here. I don't have anything else. So if we take a look at the January 6th minutes, there were some minor grammatical corrections submitted by Ned to Amy and I. Do you have that printout here by any chance?
No, but I did.
It's not completely necessary. If anybody has any minor corrections or changes, please let me know, and then I'll entertain a motion.
I didn't notice I'm listed as being both present and absent.
Which one do you want to be?
Well, technically I'm absent.
Yeah.
But if I get brownie points for being present, then I'm here in spirit. Yeah.
Okay. That is a good substantial change that we would like to know, so that's a good one. Do you remember what any of you... Oh,
yeah,
can I look at it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was here too, then. I'm on both.
Oh, my.
So were you here?
No.
Oh, you weren't?
No.
Okay.
He took the sheet from me last week.
Linda, were you here?
No,
you
were here.
Oh, Linda's in both too. Okay.
Wouldn't it be magical if we could be?
Okay.
Wow, man. You don't steal this assignment.
I'm sorry. You ran out of the meeting quickly last time.
Yeah, I ran out.
Let's see here.
What's the date of the last meeting?
January 6th.
The communication. Mm-hmm. not quite sure what the suggestions he's saying are exactly. So, I mean, were you able to figure it out?
He's, I guess he doesn't like the way I've worded some sentences. So he suggests rewording.
So the question is on the section under communications, T. Grove said, even if membership is changed to be fixed, it may still be a while before we have more members.
Yeah, I was reading that too. I'm not quite sure why.
I think we were talking about like...
Fixed, the number of people.
No, like each, like a representative from every unit, like fixed as in... Like we're all kind of random now.
Right. Yeah. So even member change should be fixed in that definition that it's not gonna instantaneously, I don't think, be 33 members. The number that we were shooting for. That it's gonna take a while to get to that point. I don't remember, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Remember my conversation from yesterday?
Okay, you got that?
I can change it.
Okay. And I think in the first part is the third sentence was several in communications. Ned is saying that there were several calendaring options suggested, one of which was doodle. And it said the committee, Ben suggested the committee use doodle to try and set up their meetings. I don't think our minutes really need to go into this detailed for the, I mean.
We can do this offline.
Yeah. So, from what I read last time of parliamentary procedure, your minutes are not supposed to be a written verbatim of every word that was said in the meeting, but basically, you know, the gist of what maybe a conversation was about, not necessarily the details. So something like that we probably could completely all admit. So. Is there a motion to approve our amendments with the amendments of our phantom members?
Motion to approve.
And seconded?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstain? Okay. Minutes passed. All right. Just going on to committee reports, I have something to talk about in the executive committee, if you have anything first.
I don't think we've actually met, have we, the executive committee?
We didn't, and I don't think we officially canceled it, unless anybody showed up.
There was like 3 or 4 of us that couldn't make it. But I have something, but I can talk under communications.
Go ahead, we're going to have plenty of time.
Did everyone get my summary email with our meeting from Mary? That's pretty much the last thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to go over it again? If not, I just have some things to add. I can go over it again.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Well, we talked to her about 3 things, really. First, we wanted to congratulate her on the new HR website. Everybody seems to be happy with the new website. Then the issues were, the first one was regarding eShop purchases of local vendors. Some people still seem to be confused on this. And Mary said talk to Tom Romantic or Joanne Stefano for clarification, but I haven't been able to reach them yet. So that's still in the works. We talked to her about severance packages for laid off employees this year. And it will be, I think you asked, it'll be the same package. So do get laid off, you'll get 1 week of pay for the year of service with health benefits for a period of time, and notice of termination will be given as soon as possible. So I'm saying, you know, if they know 3 months ahead of time, they'll let you know, but the absolute minimum is 30 days. But it's the same deal as last year. And then the other question was about parking in College Town.
That question came from Diane Zberik over at the communications over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because their folks don't have any
except the 312.
Yeah, they're in 312, and there were 4 spots in front of their building that they've been juggling, but now we've kind of moved in, and they have a business vehicle takes 1 spot, and then there's another person who has handicapped in it, so they take up spots. So now it's everyone juggling for 2 spots.
Wow.
And you said there's another entity in College Town.
There's CIS also in College Town. So basically, she was looking to try and find solutions for lots of people, but there's the public lot that is $120 a month or something like that to park there. So not all that convenient.
They're 312 Stewart or College Ann?
College.
Mm-hmm. I'm also thinking of someone who used to live downtown.
Mm-hmm.
The parking in the Seneca Street ramp, if there was a regular bus service that goes straight up the hill, something like using that as the A lot is used for people on.
Yeah, and you still have to pay the city rate, though, which is less down there certainly than it is in College Town. And
not
what?
But the people that work downtown.
The people who work downtown, apparently, some way they work in the building.
Could there be an extension of that?
Right. Well, so Diane's trying to find out who made that deal, because transportation did not.
So Mary brought to our attention that there is a transportation committee that is part of the university assembly that probably has not been engaged very recently, and that in the past they were very active, and so
they
I thought...
They meet about once a month.
What?
They meet about once a month.
They are actively meeting?
Mm-hmm. And India? Is on that committee, and someone else.
Okay.
Leah has been on it for.
Okay, Mary wasn't under the impression that they were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the things that we did talk about for the College Town solution is Diane's going to go back and talk to transportation about the possibility of getting permits for the East Hill Plaza lot. And taking the East Hill Plaza shuttle down, which is another 10-minute run during the workday, and would then be, you know, free or at least university-based parking, cost parking.
So is there something that we can funnel over to the transportation committee of the university assembly with our concerns? Or if it sounds like Diane was contacting transportation directly, and she contacted you through the employee assembly as well, or?
No, she contacted Gary, actually, who said talk to Tanya because she works in College Town to see what they're doing for parking solutions. So that's how she and I connected up.
When you park in university, for example, in the A lot, you get a bus pass that you can use to get back and forth, say, from A lot. And I don't know what happens. I mean, I think that the bus pass option is pretty valuable, and I don't know where that fits in the transportation policies, whether you're off campus and if you get a bus pass from Cornell or not. So that might be another question.
Well, aren't we all allowed to ride a bus for free?
You have your ID.
Okay.
Even downtown, anywhere around.
The thing I used to, when I moved down to my office in College Town, I used to park in A lot, And I would have to either walk from College Town to Central Campus to get a bus to
mm-hmm.
ALOT.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't necessarily convenient
okay.
at all. But, I mean...
But if you will park downtown, I think what Eric...
Yeah, there is the number 10 bus.
Which you can use. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they were saying, too, that basically right now they're taking street parking. They're just contributing to the College Town resident parking issue. Because basically they go out and... at noon, shift their cars to the other side of the street, and everyone does kind of the College Town shuffle.
Is there anyone else besides 312 College Ave that's struggling with this?
There's the folks across the street in what used to be Triangle Bookstore, which is CIS.
Okay.
And I think County. Some offices in Student Agency's building, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything still in Sheldon Court? No. Is that all?
You mean downstairs? It's
the Kaplan?
Yeah.
Cornell affiliation at this point.
Well, it's owned by Cornell.
Right. The building is
there's no parking at Kaplan.
No staff.
There's minimal parking behind it.
We control that.
I was going to say there might be one spot that might.
There's a list of groups who can talk to, and they all fight for
something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we think our best solutions are to park downtown and take the shuttle up for free, or we still plaza parking and take the shuttle?
Probably either one.
I'll keep trying to get a hold of Helen and see if we can make this happen.
Yeah, I think the East Hill Plaza solution is better if it's university price parking. If they have to pay downtown, it's just more expensive downtown if you have to pay free. But if they can work out that free deal,
yeah, I don't think you should
have to buy it off. My guess would be there is no free parking. Somebody
Right.
Well, it could have been. I would wonder if real estate worked out in general when they decided to rent the common spaces.
Is
they
have
a
permit?
You
have to have a permit, though.
I told her to talk to Tom and see
what she can do. Mostly, you still shuttle. Mm-hmm. I think it seems to be underutilized when I take it now, so lots of room for...
And it's nice, it stops right in College Town. It's actually, I think, a quicker loop because it doesn't go all...
Is that where you park downtown?
I live my car at my house, so...
Okay.
So I walk to another.
So if between Tanya, David, and Gary, if you guys want to help facilitate this, getting through the right channels to either... the UA's transportation committee or working directly with transportation, maybe there's some awareness of what options are available to these people that maybe they don't know of,
what I would say we should do is, since we have two people appointed to the transportation advisory committee on behalf of the EA, that I can be in contact with them or maybe we can talk to them
that
to say,
sounds
can
good.
You bring up this issue at it, that committee?
Inda, and who's the other one? Okay.
I was just going to say, I had a discussion with Helen today back in December regarding parking issues behind our building. And so if you're having difficulty getting hold of her or something, I'm like,
okay.
I could try. Not that I have a connection or anything. But I have
to use a park there.
Behind your building, you have to have a permit. But it's
probably you guys, right?
It's a number of people who have, and the permits are like $800 a year. And it's, I think, maybe 8 or 9 spaces
mm-hmm.
altogether. So they're generally booked solid, and then we have issues with students parking in behind the building.
Okay.
And, but I was just saying, she knows knows that we have an ongoing.
Okay. And then if we can get a solution to this, the next step would be just letting everyone know, hey, there's a new option.
Okay. So I want to have a discussion about potential meeting date moves in order to free up the time to attend the Soup and Hope series. Or we could just pass a resolution saying that no other entities on campus are allowed to schedule cool things during our meetings. Because our meetings have been well placed well in advance, Soup and Hope should have been on Thursdays, you know. So today is the kickoff for Soup and Hope. They have six series, or six Wednesdays. And the next, we have three meetings that would conflict. The February 3rd, the March 3rd, and the March 17th. So we're already trying to plan some people for some of these meetings, which gets tricky. Paul Streeter is trying to get on our agenda tentatively for February 3rd, and so we might not be able to move that, which means we'll miss another one. March 3rd and 17th probably are far enough out there to be able to do something about. So just will
March 3rd and 17th.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Plus, she may be wanting to attend the Super Bowl. I don't know.
And so March 17th looks completely free. I don't know. Any thoughts?
Plan to bump the March 17th one to another day.
That's what I was thinking, or. Well, a different Wednesday doesn't work because they're meeting. They're on every. Wait, are they every other Wednesday? No.
They're kind of every
other
Wednesday, but I think they skip the
17th.
February.
Yeah, that's true, right?
I don't know. I think I put it in the calendar at the moment.
The other thing, we could also move the meeting to a different time of the day, but that's kind of tricky too. And what was the latest on Paul Streeter? We're waiting to hear back if he wants to attend February 3rd, or if it's.
I had given him the next meeting date, which were the 3rd and the 17th, and I've not gotten confirmation of which date would work best.
Okay.
Move to the 10th.
You know, what month are we talking about?
March.
Move what? No, we're talking about February and March.
Right. So instead of meeting on March 17th, meet on March
10th. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So essentially, we'd have two meetings in a row, rather than an off week in between.
Okay, that's one option. We could.
Are we trying to do this so we can attend ourselves this week in Hope and just show support?
I hope so. We're a co-sponsor of the event, which as we discussed, is by name.
Can we send a couple of us to Soup and Hope? Is that when they ask them from the meeting? Yeah, I mean, would that be easier than trying to change our schedule?
Or hold the meeting there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is, instead of having a working meeting, if we don't have a guest planned, we can say that's our meeting, we're going to meet there, and maybe what we do is we wear our EA pins and, you know, we mingle beforehand and chat with people, talk about the employee center. Maybe we serve soup.
That's a wonderful idea to put in place for March 17th. I think that's so. Okay. Is there any objection to making our March 17th effectively a non-meeting, but basically a meeting at the Soup and Hope, and we will facilitate our presence somehow?
We can't skip any meetings. Can we?
Well,
is there any reason we can skip any meetings?
Well, we're saying that instead of having a meeting on that day, people can go to Soup and Hope. So we're not adding a meeting, we're just changing what we're doing.
So March 17th, unless there's no objection. Okay. So March 17th, the location will be changed to Sage Chapel. And it will be a functionally non-working meeting. Your presence would be appreciated, and we'll have the name badges and stuff.
Should we let them know we're going to be there?
Yeah.
I know Leon's really involved in it, so maybe we can ask him if there's a way. I know that they have guiding services, but other people help serve groups, so maybe we can say he help serve that day.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. So we get
some of us. I don't know. You know, things.
We'll touch base with Mia. So that would, okay, so that means
does that run from noon to 1 or noon to 1 the usual time?
12 to 1. Oh, that reminds me, yeah, I mean,
we could have a quick
meeting at the end in the back at 1 from 1 to 1:30.
As long as the space is available.
Oh, well, that's not, well, we got March 17th taken care of. Now, we don't may or may not need to have a meeting. I guess we could reserve, you know, okay, everybody hang around until 1:30 if we needed something to discuss on the 17th. March 3rd is Mary, and February 3rd is potentially Paul Streeter, unless we can get him to do February 17th, and then I don't know, we can maybe do another presence. Okay. Well, I guess let's we'll discuss more of this through email then, figuring out if we can lock down Paul Streeter to a date and maybe strongly encourage him to the February 17th date now. And that'll give us some options for February 3rd. And March 3rd. I guess we can double check with Mary's calendar too to see if she's flexible for being moved around. Also on Mary's calendar, we were at our meeting, I think, I'm not sure which Mary meeting this was at, we talked about, well, the president and Mary are scheduled to come at our last meeting, which was kind of, we thought, pointless. I mean, and do you remember what we said that
it would be pretty hard to reschedule them, but
yeah. This
month
is
I mean, it's possible we could reschedule.
Yeah,
because
we
started trying now.
Okay.
Like,
maybe
you have a
couple
in April, yeah.
Just
yeah, yeah.
So if you know, then he won't.
Oh, no. I'm not going to say no. I'm just saying maybe something's changed since then and maybe he's got an opening. Who knows?
Are you talking about the president?
Yes.
The assembly's leadership of all of the assemblies are meeting on Tuesday with the president. Just FYI. So there is an opportunity.
Yeah, I know that. I don't want to not take him off of our schedule. It's just not very ideal to have them show up at the last meeting. So, I don't know, maybe if anyone's going to remember this for the calendar planning for next year, the president's not allowed to come at the last meeting, but, you know.
Yeah.
We got it, to get him in the middle of both semesters would be ideal.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of the fall, in the middle of the spring, you know.
It's dictated to us, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well,
I mean, I don't know if there's anything we can do proactively when you set your meeting. I mean, historically, your meetings have been the first and third Wednesdays of the month, and that's how you're scheduled. And if that's part of the problem, to get the president in here for whatever reason, you know, like this week would not be possible because it's the trustee meetings, and so that week it's always a problem.
Well, that's true too.
So you guys might want to think about when you're meeting to see if that might help the scheduling situation.
That's a good point. What if we asked him, or even this year, let's say those are the original dates. What if we say April through May? Are there any dates that we could shift a meeting date to in order for the president to come earlier?
Mm-hmm. And Amy, can you see if there's any possibilities?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So would we say any of the Wednesdays that we don't normally have a meeting, we could have an extra meeting, or we would shift?
We'd move a meeting date to it, yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll look into that.
Well, if he's going to be at Tuesday's leadership breakfast, then if anyone has questions or concerns or whatnot for him, he can send them to me, and I'll make sure I'm there on time. What is 8:30 in the morning?
And what's the function or purpose of that meeting?
Leadership breakfasts are just kind of an open forum.
Tommy's always there. The assembly falls under Tommy's realm in terms of division, and he tries to invite a different key administrator, usually some senior staff. He wants to come. Mary, Susan, Jim Mingle have all been. And it's kind of an opportunity for them to say, you know, these are the things that I'm thinking about, worried about for 10 or 15 minutes, and then it's open discussion for leadership of all four of the assemblies to ask questions, make comments or whatever. So it's just another touch with senior. But it is the one time that I think we're getting the president this year to do that. And, you know, there's a lot going on. My guess, strategic planning, reimagining Cornell is probably going to be
the Bain, results of the Bain study. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Don't get, just as a bit of an aside, and this means hopefully this is helpful for everyone. Bain has been making recommendations throughout the process. So, yes, they have been one element, but let's not think about a report from the Bain as anything probably anybody's going to see, look at, or anything. Those recommendations have become a drift. There are a lot of brown bag lunches and panel discussions. We had quite a few with the academic task forces that were held in the fall, and I've been trying to send those out to the assemblies when I know about them. There's actually some coming up on the budget model on the 4th and the 11th, the 5th and the 11th, I think.
I guess with the Bain thing, maybe it's not so much that they are coming out with anything that's already been in the pipeline already. It's more like, so what's the actual implementation?
Exactly.
And a sense of that would be helpful.
And there's a lot more information, actually, if you go to the Chronicle. And by Friday, there'll be an article about this, you know, Paul Streeter, and he's heading up this kind of a change office that's working with groups to basically reduce the size of the administrative function at Cornell. So it does have a huge impact on staff. So more of this will be coming out. And I'll send you the brown bag lunch and the panel discussion dates and times right now, so you'll have it. Just so you know that those are coming up. So a lot about that this semester, I'm sure.
David, anything else with the executive committee? Staff recognition and awards committee?
We're meeting next Friday the 29th to go over the applicants for the George Peter Award. So we should have someone selected, I think.
Communication?
I had a random thought this morning that I just kind of wanted to share with you guys. I see this sidewalk art from the students advertising everything from music stuff to dance. I was just like, well, you know, I think the EA should be doing that. I think that might be fun and maybe a great way to advertise meetings or events or whatever. I would be more than happy to draw on the sidewalk. Or spray paint. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
All the tunnelists is that once you get down that low, it's hard to get back.
Right.
I'm not speaking.
But I don't know. I was like, wow, we should be doing that. I mean, they're highly visible. It's free. It's just a little bit of time. And
what kind of events that lend themselves, like the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl, yeah. Or even just our next meeting, open meeting. You know, maybe we come up with a new logo or just a EA logo. I don't know. Just a random thought.
I think it was an interesting idea. I don't know that staff pays as much attention to those things as the students do. I think it's more like a student marketing tactic. I don't know. I'll defer to my marketing expert on my last year.
Well, I mean, people notice and we can't help. walking over the top. Mm-hmm. They don't last. You have to watch for the weather for
I mean,
don't do it the day you are supposed to race, because that's just silly. But, I mean, I don't think it hurts. I think it just depends on what you're trying to say or what you're trying to accomplish. If you want to do the verb is talking.
Talking.
Yeah.
Not
by talk.
They're not joining the talking committee. Keep the thoughts.
I like the idea of making having a logo of EA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there one? There's a really old one.
Come upstairs. I found.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's. Mm-hmm. I have a vein, something related to communication.
Okay.
Stuff there, I guess, in Gary's newsletter that he sent out. I think the information is great. It'd be lovely if there's a way to sexy it up a little more from that kind of graphic standpoint. I don't know if the format we would want to send it in allows for that. It just has to be basic, simple, straightforward.
Yeah, my experience, anytime we're dealing with bulk mailing and listservs and lyrics, it's very difficult if you can't have an attachment and graphics make it a little...
chews up too much.
Yeah.
Is that a lyric listserv using?
We haven't figured that out yet. Lyrics, you definitely can't.
Well, the lyric has its own HTML template.
Right. But my experience still is that graphics don't translate.
Yeah.
Right. That.
Well, they don't, because, I mean, I just made one in there.
Yeah.
And if you're sending to an Eudora account, it
right.
doesn't translate
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you're using Gmail or Outlook or something.
It's a fine art to make an email properly crafted for a mass audience
mm-hmm.
and a mass different browsers. I mean,
right.
ideally, it would be sent out in HTML and text simultaneously, and if the person's client can't read HTML, it goes to text only. I can't imagine myself giving myself that headache of actually trying to figure that out and do all the testing, so I don't... I'm not sure where...
Put it out there.
The email is ready to send. We can work out the technical details of who's sending what platform and how to make it look nice in those constraints.
Yeah. Well, we'll probably see a few more different drafts. I mean, we're talking about having more expansive dialogue pointing to the blog site or something. I think we may need to have some type of technical meeting before... February and kind of iron some of these things out.
Has there been discussion about doing any kind of YouTube or Facebook sort of advertising for what we do?
We have a Facebook page.
We have a Facebook page that's been reserved. It's not in use yet.
Right.
I think it.
Or a Confluence page, right?
Well,
yeah.
Pretty easy. Put it up and do it.
Well, that's something that I think it's something that we should decide if we're going to go ahead and go and start doing, and then our first newsletter can announce it, and then say, hey, come join our Facebook group. We have a group and a page, which are two different things in Facebook land.
I think the biggest thing for us is that we have to go from a point of talking about what we're going to do to doing what we're going to do, because this is February in the corner,
Well, the content is key. I mean, we need the content first. Well, they don't need it first, but we're going to need it. I mean, we can fill in with dummy data now to get the formatting and logistics right, but when that time comes, deadline comes, we need to have what are those bullet items that we're going to put in there.
And I think what Gary put out has a lot of that
yeah.
in there already.
Well,
yeah,
well,
I think that's
it.
You did a really nice job.
I think that mm-hmm. if people have more things that they want, I think people, someone should say, I think that this would be great and I'm going to write it. Rather than just saying, oh, here's
mm-hmm.
an idea, write
mm-hmm.
it. I mean, we if everybody put something together, there'd be 13 items in every one, which I think would be great.
Is there a time frame at this point for when I was?
Gary sent out that email deadline for February 5th is the deadline for February.
We'll certainly copy.
No, I can have it.
Okay.
So, Jason, are you the administrator for the Facebook page?
I am.
Well, you know, because if you want somebody else to take it on, like maybe you're David or Tim or somebody, then
I think I would like a co-administrator. I think we need to sit down in communications and figure out how that thing will manage itself or be managed. So we can take that offline. Who's interested? We can just all start talking about it via email. Tim, you're interested in? Okay. Let's just start an email. Let's just talk a bit about it a little bit. I will send out the links. If you can't find that, you know, Google Cornell University Employee Assembly. You should find the page and the group. And
so it's there.
Mm-hmm. I may not have it. You know, if you can't find it, I may not have enabled it for public use yet because there was no content to put up, and I didn't want us to look under construction. So I will send you. Well, the first step would be to send you the links to make sure that your accounts get linked into it, and then you can become an administrator to control it and stuff like that. And
is this a WordPress blog?
No, we're talking about Facebook right now.
I think most of the other assemblies have Facebook groups, so if you want to see what other people are doing, you can.
Oh, that's good.
Certainly the GPS Facebook.
Okay, good. So make a note of that. Okay. All right, well, I'll send out an email to the four of us, and we can start playing around with something. Okay. Is there anything else in communication?
I don't think so. I just wanted to go over our meeting with Mary. Really.
Finance. Alan is not present. The emergency grant care fund. Once we receive word from the president that everything was okay, then we will go ahead and revise our charter according to the resolution's provisions, and then it will be officially off the agenda. Linda has a few things to say about the CARE Fund.
It's going to be a really top priority in our group to revisit the CARE Fund. I know one of the things that this group felt was important for us to broaden out our criteria so that we could have more people benefit from it, as well as trying to get the word out there a little bit more. So it's going to be a priority for us to focus on, especially comes over to us, not that we haven't been already. And one of the things I know that we wrote in the original resolution is that we would have at least one EA member who would sit on the committee. So my first question is, if there's anyone here who is interested in that, we are already starting to talk about setting up that meeting like as soon as possible so we can meet on it. And what's really important, and I shared with Jason, is in the last week we've had two people who have come forward and asked about the fund. Based on the program's current criteria, neither of them qualified for it. But this was, you know, I think with what's going on in the environment, we're hearing more things like, you know, my spouse partner had lost their job. You know, we're hearing a lot of other hardship stories. And I have a feeling more and more that more people in the community, if they know about it, will be applying for it. So we really want to get it up and running as quick as possible. So we did have an initial meeting yesterday on my team. Beth McKinney has offered very much to be on the committee and has said that she'd be willing to chair the committee that would focus on the fund. But we do, if there's anyone here who's interested, we'd like to know so we could get you invited right away. We've already been doing some research to take a look at criteria that other funds have put out. We were taking a look at what the average dollar amount of funds out there are, because that was something else I think we had talked about. And then there'll probably be two other things that we'll talk about, which is if we do get the word out there and we do start to get people to start applying and actually getting the fund, probably we'll have to do at least like a biannual fundraising, and that might be something that we would, you know, look to partner with EA on too. So we did have the preliminary meeting, but the main thing is we do need to get an EA member on it as soon as possible. So if there's anyone who's interested, that'd be wonderful. And so
appropriate.
It is perfect. And we really, our goal is by March 1st to roll out the new program. That's what we thought. We wanted a really aggressive because we didn't want anyone to be disadvantaged by it. And perhaps depending on the criteria the two individuals that put forth an application last week may end up qualifying for it in its new format. And that's why I really want to make sure we move on it quick. So and then Gemma then would be the person who'd come back and share with you before we made the program official what our recommended changes and criteria, et cetera, would be, so you can give a final blessing before we move it forward.
So is everybody okay with Gemma being our representative on that committee?
Okay. Oh, that's wonderful.
So appointed.
And after it's approved by the president, we'll have to transfer the funds.
Yep. We already asked that in HR about that.
You have to create a new account number that replaces this one.
Okay.
And there are more than one.
Right, there's
three.
Oh,
there's
three.
Actually three.
Okay.
There's the operating one.
Okay.
There's a income clearing account because we do have some people who have designated the fund as a recipient for giving. And then we have a long-term investment account.
Okay.
That there's $20-some thousand in.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Like I'm not sure, but there were some people who were on the committee before it transferred over to you guys, and if you want more members once you get things up and running, they may be good pieces.
Yeah, I can share with you, and it was a very preliminary meeting that we had yesterday, and we invited Beth McKinney because right away when she heard, she said, I would love to have an active involvement with this. You know, I really feel passionate about it. Michelle from my office, Michelle Arteby, who is the Assistant Director of Work-Life Services. I said that I would keep involvement until it is up and running and operational, and then I really think it's up to the committee to follow the criteria and make the decisions. And then just I'd be informed like everyone else, but I did want involvement while they were forming, and so for the first month and a half, it'll be a lot. We were thinking it would be great to have someone from a college and someone from a unit. And so I know Bill Littick has been actively involved and has felt very passionate about it, so we thought he might be an ideal representing a college. And then we thought somebody from a unit, and ideally we'd love somebody that has bargaining unit employees, so we talked about a couple people that might fit that bill. But keeping it small enough because we want it very nimble when somebody comes in to be able to, you know, and we're also thinking about how we can even meet virtually because we want to be able to get responses very quickly because obviously in emergency situations you want to be able to get people funding as quick as possible. So we were factoring on all those things. That's very early thinking. Nothing's at all carved in stone, but that's what we were saying. We thought ideal. We didn't want a committee of like 12 people.
Right.
We thought a nice, small representative committee would be the best way to go about it. So that's just initial thinking on it.
Do you know how the people who approached asking already how they learned about it?
Well, I think that I know one for sure learned through their human resources person because their human resources person actually approached me to talk with me about it since the faculty and staff assistance program is part of my team. And the other person, I think, also heard about it from someone in their unit, but it came through the faculty and staff assistance program, and one of our counselors came to me to talk with me about it. So that's how the two, and it's been in the last week. So that's why I said, gosh, we really need to move this on because I don't want people disadvantaged who really need the money.
Yeah. Especially if there aren't a lot of other people asking.
Right, right. And, you know, I really do want to make it a very, very hard deadline that we really work against to make sure it's up and running and well publicized.
It might be nice for our first newsletter if we hear from the president.
I was actually thinking if we could use our EA newsletter to promote it.
Oh, I would think so. It's going out at the end of February, right?
Yeah.
I think, the last week of February.
Yeah.
So I think.
So that would be perfect. And we really do want to still keep the from employees to employees perspective and really us being the administrative clearinghouse, but really it's still being a fund that employees have funded to help their fellow employees.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really important to keep that flavor about it because it's really what it's about.
Cool.
So.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Tim.
Personnel policy?
We're meeting next week, so we'll have more reports.
Yeah, on the, actually the date was set on the 26th.
Did you say that you had some specific policies you were going to start to look at?
Yeah, we were going to look at the flexible workplace policy.
Okay.
Was one, and potentially the policy on movement, career development and movement.
Okay.
Transfer, I guess it is. This is the technical policy. So those were the two that we had put out there and said if anyone has any feedback on either of those policies that they want to share with us, we'd be very happy to hear it.
Okay. And you said your next your meeting is going to be when?
On Tuesday the 26th.
Yeah.
Tuesday the
26th.
At
3 o'clock, was it?
3 p.m. Where?
It's going to be at
Trillium.
Okay. Tuesday the 26th at 3 p.m. Trillium. Personnel Policy Committee.
You know, I might have to get people thinking about it if you send out over the list links to those policies.
So okay. That's a great idea. So how is the best way for us to get the word out about it?
Well, definitely keep us informed. Okay. So send us lots of reminder emails the day before or whatever. I mean, who just sent one out? You did.
Yeah.
This morning. Remember, education committee meeting tomorrow. I'm like, oh, okay, I forgot to put it on my calendar.
Okay.
And also communicate with the Office of Assembly Staff. Make sure that they can post it on the EA website.
Yeah, okay.
If you want to go and register it yourself on the Cornell events calendar, do so there.
If you've written up an agenda, and this goes for any committee chair, if you email those materials to staff at assembly.cornell.edu, we try to get them posted on the committee's
website.
That's good.
Okay, that's great.
So staff
at assembly.cornell.edu.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, because I can do that, and I can do the links to the policies on there.
Yeah.
That's really helpful. Thank you.
So does it get to the all staff or just
It goes to a queue that a variety of people look at. And
but it's more of a pull than a push. So if someone's interested and they go up there, they can see it and then they can opt in. So if an employee looks at that, they can go on this. It will be listed on the employee assembly site. Is that how it is under that subcommittee?
Under that committee. So each committee has its own website
right.
with whatever meeting materials we receive.
Okay. Okay, that's good.
Okay, good.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Internal operations.
Jim, we just appointed Jim Blair as a rep to the university assembly on behalf of the EA, but we still have one sort of vacancy.
Okay.
Is that the what I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
Okay.
So university assembly, if I'm interested in that, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they meet 4:30, 5 o'clock.
4:30 to 6, two Wednesdays a month.
So if you're interested in being appointed, please let me know.
Cross off university benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Not solely our committee in there. Still on hiatus. Employee education?
We're meeting tomorrow, of course. Anybody's welcome. We're meeting in V16. I do have a quick question. If we have new members, how do I get them on the listserv?
Send an email to that.
To the, which one? To the staff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although there should be at least people we already have tickets for.
I've cleared every... So if they weren't... Ideally, if they can go onto the EA's website, there's an option there to say you want to join a committee and you just fill out this form.
Okay.
Because then this way it goes through all of the...
Yeah, because the thing is we looked at Tanya as the authority on who's on committees.
Okay.
Have a EA charter.
Okay, so I'm going to write this down this time. I know I asked this before and it didn't stick. I'm sorry. So new members, committee members, go on website.
And they pick and go to that committee and then it says
go to committee link. Okay.
What the But there's a piece there that says, you know, I'd like to be involved or something like that. You click on it. I can send you the link.
Okay.
If the committee is understaffed, though, and you want to relax the process a little bit, what we're looking for is an email that comes into us at our staff email address from Tanya saying, appoint this person. And that triggers all the steps on our end.
Okay, so if they click on this link.
So essentially what Ari's saying is that if you want to say, Tanya, I want to appoint these two people to my committee, I can then just email Ari and say appoint those people.
Oh, okay.
Rather than making them go through that particular process.
Okay.
Or email staff.
Yes.
Okay, so I can either send email to staff or email to you.
Email to me, and then
you will email me. Okay. Okay. I think I got it.
Maybe I'll send it an email.
That would be good.
How to do it.
But two members.
Well, if you're not, this is the simplified process.
Okay, that's fine. I'll get it.
It's not all that fun.
Yeah, I'm sorry that these sorts of things are things I have a little difficulty remembering what the process is. So that'll be great. That's fine. That's clear. So that's number one. And then sending the minutes to the meetings can go to the staff. That goes to that.
Right.
Okay, and then I guess my third one is, if anybody has any thoughts or feedback or ideas about education, would you send me a note? One of the things we've been doing informally is just, I've been just going out saying, I'm chair of the education committee, and all of a sudden it sparks conversation like crazy. So I've already had three or four really interesting thoughts about it, critiques, ideas. You know, so I'm just starting to make a list. So if you would like to go and think about it and talk to me or just have a little chummy conversation with somebody and send it to me, that would be helpful to us. That's it. And Jason will be there. So we can
Hope so. Pending any department emergencies.
Right, gotcha. Anyway, okay.
Charter review.
Have a meeting next week.
Okay. Any bits and pieces of Cornell and transition update that anyone can provide? Peggy, do you have anything in that?
I think I can jump in.
Okay. Any old business? Mm-mm. Any new business?
I just wanted to say that I think it's, I don't know if that's right terminology, but anyway, we have 1,500 people at the employee celebration at Barton Hall and basketball games this past weekend, and I really think that we should have a presence there at the next employee celebration.
You all used to?
We used to.
Mm-hmm. There used to be a table available that had a big board and pamphlets and pens and stuff, but it turned out to be difficult when the membership was declining to get people to volunteer to do that.
So anyway, we should maybe reevaluate that and maybe we could do something more fun than just an informational table. I know they have children's games and stuff like that. Maybe we could have a children's game and then interact with parents while the children are playing the game, or, you know, so I know it's for a fact, but it's just for employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think it's a real oversight for us not to be there. So I'm happy to look up the date and we should.
So just once a year?
But I think even beyond that, like a lot of the things that are done that are bigger university things, if we can
find ways to
volunteer and be involved in that so that our name is getting out there and that we're more than just first and third Wednesday of the month meeting kind of thing. I think it'll really help us to move towards getting more people involved.
Would it be useful to, as part of some meeting, come in with ideas for some of these events, like what are some of the kind of choice events either in the fall or the spring that might be great opportunities? Mm-hmm. Is that something that, for a next meeting, what category does that fall under? This is new business, so
I just kind of thought, are there, like at the hockey games or basketball games, are there programs that are given out? Mm-hmm. Anyone ever been to a game?
Maybe
the EA could buy a little 2x2-inch square advertising space that says, hey,
we saw everything.
Brought you in part by
EA. Yeah, I mean,
there's a training for a dating set. I mean,
sending the medicine, the program, food. Mm. It was like two. I don't remember the price, but.
Do they have different ones?
Yeah, they were sending the program for the basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the centerfold changes
right.
Depending, you know, with right. current players or the opponents and things mm-hmm. like that. But the advertising, historically, it would be consistent throughout the season. So when you buy it,
I'd be curious to see what their demographic is, if it's the majority of it, then that's better off spending my dollars somewhere else, even though that students aren't putting out money for.
I think you want door prizes for your seat or a program member or something like
that.
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Depending on what promos they have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good ideas to to pursue.
Well, and in the long those days, I had somebody handed me a little flyer of a, just a pamphlet we used to do. Mm-hmm. So that way, we might want to think about ways to improve. Or if we need to print more of those types of things, so we're more at Stupid Hope, or we're at these ways already, what are we giving people? Something that has our Facebook and our...
Mm-hmm.
I liked that little pamphlet that we looked at.
Yeah,
it's like a 3x8 Who produced that in the first place? Was it your office?
Mm-hmm.
Can we just update it? Like,
we don't have the template anymore, but we had a lot of negative feedback on the who cares about, because we read a different way.
Well, but I mean, we can change that, you know? Maybe even our next couple of meetings.
It does seem like it'd be, and I don't know if I want to take this responsibility, but I could offer to, that there does want to be like a graphic, and I don't know what the graphic looks like, so I would be happy to play with some looks for or
logo.
A cool EA logo or something.
Well,
like that, so.
We have been using sort of a Cornell has moved in this direction of having a uniform Cornell look.
Right.
So there is a unit signature which is available in several different color schemes to play with.
Unit signature?
Yeah, that's what they call the Cornell University Employee Assembly, the thing you see.
Yeah. With the header, the Cornell logo with the logo.
Yeah, and it says Employee Assembly under that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have this in a like a postscript format.
But you could add like a tagline or something.
You guys want to oblige to use that.
Yes, because I
think it's a really interesting technology to use to get employee opinion or input on certain things.
We are trying to get away.
The blog. I'm talking about the blog.
We are trying to get away from print media more and more because it's very expensive and we've had mixed results. But
the
only place that I've seen the EA
flyers
is.
Didn't we have a blog
in a bunch of boxes in our office?
Yes, we do. Haven't started using
them. Yeah, that's what I'm asking. If the other have been using blogs at all?
Well, I mean, you could look at this and say, okay, is it a magnet with the website on it? You could do different kinds of takeaways.
Is that in our budget at all?
Do
you have a takeaway?
We can find money.
The blog is free. I'm asking about the blog as a communication device.
All these things I think are going to start to come together when this first newsletter comes out, because I've talked about having things that are too big to fit in the newsletter, like the Read More link is a link to the blog where you can go on and on and on for all you want. And the Facebook is good for short little messages and stuff, but it's not for...
I disagree. Only because I think there's just one more thing to update.
To worry about.
I think you can get your message across in the newsletter and then link out to, if there's a specific Chronicle article or there's a specific website, but honestly, I don't think people are going to go to the blog, but that's just something else to update.
Should we focus on one? Is that what you mean?
I'd say focus on the newsletter and then link out to our website, but to add another component, I think is...
I like the interactiveness of a blog is what I think is nice, because we can have a something that we want employee opinion on and they can post to the blog. And then I also like the historical aspect of the blog. We've started using in our office for something that we needed, and it is kind of engaging. People can sign up for it, so if they want to see if anyone's posted anything on it, they can sign up for a listserv on if you're using the Cornell blogs, which is the one we have. So I just think it's a nice interactive technology to use.
We can continue these discussions in communications and in other further meetings. We have to finish up here for today. Is there any other new business or open forum items? No? Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. We are adjourned 1:25. Thank you.
I don't know if you guys ever look
at that. On the web.
Yeah, I don't know. Right. I don't know if you guys ever look at that reimagining website. It's really good. I mean, first of all, it's maintained, and all these working groups and their members are outlined down there and what their charges are. And there's, you know, a timetable. We're supposed to be wrapping up in the next few weeks. So it's just been a lot of rhetoric so far. But good chance of catching up on emails and stuff during the meetings. So, we'll see, you know. I don't know how much is window dressing and how much is real. Oh, that for Camden.
That's very good. I'm actually on a student working group, and I didn't know if it was the same kind of it's a provost thing.
Yep.
He's seeking our input.
Mm-hmm.
So. Why the word stewardship on
it? I thought that was an interesting thing, too, because when I think of stewardship, I think of external.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we're helping Ithaca with right. the buses or mm-hmm. something. But it's really about how it spends money internally.
How it spends money internally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It was interesting. We had a report from a similar group in 1994. And it was the same bunch of folks. You know, versions of today's folks pulled together in a 40-page report. And I'd be glad to share that with you folks. And you know, some recommendations or... So we'll see, you know.
So they think our budget crisis is due to too much administrative overload?
I think there's always, and Alan, you know more about this than I do. I think there's always questions about how many layers there are at Cornell and how many people, like, you know, one person reporting to one person, that sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any insight on that?
Yeah, there's the Bain analysis focused. Mm-hmm. A lot on so-called spans and layers.
Right.
I think so. Right. This is a part of that conversation. Do you have one manager managing one person, managing one person?
Mm-hmm.
Can that be better done? At Cornell and other employers, not unique to Cornell, over the years, a lot of the ways that you promote people and recognize performance is to give them some supervisory responsibility, regardless of other...
Or title. Right.
And so...
Okay.
So over the years, a lot of people end up managing one person or two persons and without a lot of thought to how that impacted the unit and also the university as a whole. So there is this focus on the spans and the layers. And so I'm not familiar, although I did see a blurb about it at one point, with the mission of the stewardship working group. I always thought of stewardship in a third way, really, the way that HR thinks about it. It's one of the staff skills for success that... probably on the back of everybody's door, and that really gets to how you represent Cornell, both
mm-hmm.
internally and externally. Are you a steward of Cornell's values, principles,
mm-hmm.
and goals,
mm-hmm.
and in everything that you do? So
mm-hmm.
this is maybe yet a third meeting of it.
Not to belabor this thing, but there's a guy on this group who's retired military. I forget what his name is. He's bringing a whole different focus to this conversation about organization and stuff. So
Is his name Blair, by the way?
What's that guy's name, Jason? He works over at the physical sciences. He's a manager of...
Is it David Lipsky?
No.
No.
William Lesser?
Nope.
David Taylor?
Yeah, David Taylor.
He teaches, right?
And he's got some sort of administrative responsibility.
So I can't put in a pitch since we have people here representing different units. There is a, starting this January, although it's been piloted, a change management tool and training that organizational effectiveness, my unit, is making available. So you should feel free to contact Carla Monroe to get more details. It is being posted. It will be part of a management academy of sorts that the Cornell is developing to improve upon the management training and supervisor training. But it's going out there in January and February. It will be part of the academy available to managers and supervisors shortly to help people manage, adjust, to plan all these changes that are happening around. So there's some structure. Yeah, very good. I'm not usually a flow chart, bubbles, and graphics guy myself, but even I'm into this.
Alan, do you think that they will require some managers to participate in that, those who are affecting this change?
Well, the email went out just today to the HR council and said, please nominate people. I don't know that it's, I haven't heard anybody say that it's going to be required, but a unit might require it. Those who are affected by the change mostly, or will be implementing or helping those who are making the change. Now, it's not really a training for everybody, but those who are making the change or those who will be assisting the changes are going to be invited, I think, to participate. And just something to, on this theme of reimagining Cornell, this is going to be another tool to help accomplish that.
If someone's staff at Cornell, they wanted to be a manager or supervisor, is there somewhere they can go? I'm some slug working down in 110 Day Hall. Just imagine what they hear.
Imagine that?
Yeah. And I want to be, I think, geez, I'd really like to be a manager or supervisor someday.
Well, what you would do, in addition to talking to your own supervisor and or HR person, is go for, I think one way, I go to Judy Hart or Maria Wolf. There is the newly charged career counseling people within organizational effectiveness. And they'll sit down with you, and that whole unit is just to help you plan your career at Cornell. Right, where are you? Where do you want to be?
Step for a newsletter.
Where you want to go? So we can put something out like that. It's everything from tooling up your resume to practice interviews to career goals. There's tests. There's all these neat testing that can be done that says where you think you should be or where you're most likely to be. And people take it and, wow, I'm a pilot and I should have been. Or, you know, or maybe I shouldn't have been. So all of that is available through organizational effectiveness. The so-called organizational development side or piece of it.
Okay.
So you can contact me. ODS, the old ODS still exists, but it's now within the more comprehensive organizational effectiveness, which is my office, which does still harassment, discrimination investigations, labor relations for the university, and HR policy for academic and non-academic staff. That's my office. That's what I direct now. And there's the career counseling side, Judy Hart, Maria Wolf, who have also been pulled into this change management because it's so huge. And then there's all this organizational development that's pretty big. That has all sorts of training. They do the supervisor training, the supervisor training, the advanced supervisor training, the second course, all sorts of things, the training programs at Cornell. That's what I probably tell somebody to start with is call them up and make an appointment, sit down and talk about your career.
Any other Cornell in transition items from the various many groups, working groups, things going on at Cornell? Okay, so let's move back to the emergency grant / care fund resolution. You should have received the final version from me last night. I don't think there's anything substantially that has changed from our last meeting, except for maybe some formerly known as corrections to some of the language in there. But I would take a few minutes to review that. If you have any questions, hopefully we shouldn't have any questions or concerns because we're prepared for this. Because this includes a charter change, which will remove our grants committee, it requires a two-thirds affirmative vote of all members of this body, which means we need to have 9 votes in favor. I have 3 proxy votes today by Linda, Gemma, and Tim. We have 10 members present in the room right now, and I do have 3 proxy votes, so we have enough votes of the whole body. We need 9 or more for this to pass.
So I have one question. That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Not about the text so much as last time we spoke about the fact that Linda, wearing EA hat, and also happens to be this person who would take this on for the division, would be vetting this through Lynette and/or Mary Opperman, so that when we approve this resolution, it would be warmly received.
Mm-hmm.
Has that happened? Do we know?
I pretty much asked Linda straight out that question. I said, "Are you authorized to take on this responsibility?" And she said, "Yeah, absolutely."
Okay. So we're almost voting for it. Is that what,
yeah,
that's what I'm hearing? So
we wanted to
be some confidence that that's the case.
And we wanted to check with HR if they would still be willing to do this. And Linda said, "Yes."
Mary Opperman herself has received a copy of this resolution ahead of time, and nothing substantially has changed from the version she saw and the version we're about to vote on, and so she was a full go-ahead. I have a procedural question for the Assembly's office. Now, it says that this resolution will be transmitted to Mary Opperman and other staff on this resolution, but does this also have to go to the President? Or does it require the President's approval?
It does not. Well,
because we're changing our charter.
So I think it should be reported to the President.
Reported, but not permission.
No, right. Oh, right. Okay.
I'd have to double check the revised DA charter. You wouldn't have had to approve this in the past, but you might now, the way it's written. I don't think that'll be an issue, though.
Should we insert the president's name into the resolution that it will be transmitted to him? Or
I think you can transmit it to him without changing it, and if you change it, then that would put it in the question whether you could use the proxy vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true, because it's not grammatical or typo. Okay. Do you have our charter with us? Just
electronic.
Okay. I don't have a copy.
Okay.
But it's not an issue because
not about the transmission, but just the approval. You know, are we allowed to change our charter without his approval?
My best memory is that his approval is required. I don't think that's a big impediment.
But it's kind of just like a veto. I mean, we go forward, and then he has the ability to comment or override it.
Well,
something like that.
Yeah, but that shouldn't stop you from moving forward with it.
So that would be true in any case, regardless. I mean, any resolution change. So the procedure to make that change would be the same regardless of, I mean, this is the process that you would do. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. So upon assuming this passes today, this will then be transmitted to the people listed on here, and the president will be notified that this is an action that the employee assembly took. And if there's any, if he has any concerns, we will deal with them then and come back at a further meeting. So if there's no other questions about this resolution, I will entertain a motion to approve. Or
so I'll make the motion happily to approve the resolution as presented.
We have a second by Leon. Because this is a pretty substantial vote, I'm going to ask you, all those in favor, to raise their hand, and I'm going to record the vote. So, all those in favor, please raise your hand. Okay, I have David, Tempa, Tanya, Linda has submitted a proxy vote in favor. Ned? Leon? Alan? Leslie? Gemma has supported or sent a proxy vote in favor. Tim has submitted a proxy vote in favor. Seely? I will vote yes. Gary Stewart? All right, it is unanimous. 13 votes in favor, the resolution passes.
Someone should tell Pat Mahoney.
I think the president is going to say to Mary, what do you think? He says, of course. I don't see any problem with the president.
I mean,
Mary's already. He's going to defer to Mary.
And then that was here.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. All right. Very good. It feels like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
All right. So let's, where did my agenda go? Let's go back to now the communications report, committee report. We'll start with David, and then we'll open up the floor to a general discussion about internal communications, the employee newsletter, anything else you want to talk about communications, and then when we wrap that up, we will go back to old business, new business, open forum, and we might be able to finish up early. It depends. So we're flexible there. So. All right, David?
So, I sent out email today to my communications committee, and I think we're going to try to communicate, have discussions, and function virtually because it's so time consuming to have meetings and try to fit them into schedule and match everyone's schedules. It's just absurd, and I want to really start moving forward on some things this year. So. That's our first assignment. I want to get feedback from my group virtually through email and take it from there. There's no reason we can't be working through email right from our own desks and our own offices. And I think we'll get a lot more done. And it'll be a lot easier. And that's new today.
Who's your group in there?
I don't have the list in front of me. There's maybe 7-8 people.
Oh, my God.
I guess. Not too big, but.
Well, I mean, that's
so that's the direction I want to go in.
People trying to find and stuff. One date that they can get together and find out.
Yeah.
So you're asking them for their input on that idea, is that correct?
For now, yeah.
Okay.
And then the next thing will either be working on a newsletter or some resolutions, I suppose. There's still resolutions I want to bring to the EA. But if we can organize them and have them written up virtually, I'll bring them here.
Virtual's good.
Does anyone see any major issues with that at all?
Well, just for clarification, are you looking for responses just from the members of the group or from all of us?
Just the communications committee.
Okay.
I'm silent. I mean, about that email. But if you have any thoughts on just, you know, conducting a committee like that in general, I'd certainly love to hear them.
Well, I'm on the communications committee, and I think it's worth a try. But I think, in my experience, it's been that it's too easy for people not to do work if they're not face to face with people. Like, it's too easy for people to not volunteer or to, I don't know. That's just been my experience. I think it's harder for people to shun the work when you do email things. But, and I know you kind of ran into that with the Tompkins, with the leadership group a little bit, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to do
in a group that I'm working with, we were trying to do a lot of stuff via email, and we finally just said, okay, we have to have a meeting just to organize everything. And then we all went off with kind of the direction we're going to go and then did email. But just to pull everyone together and you kind of get that conversation started. I think it's hard to have an email conversation to start throwing together ideas, because you may throw out a great idea at 4:00 and I left for the day and I don't see it till the next day, and by the time I catch it. So it may be good for you just to try to get an initial meeting together with people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try and do it in the next couple weeks, I'd imagine things are quieter for people's mm-hmm. requests to start back up.
I mean, certainly willing to try it, but I'm just saying experience.
Well, even if you get two half groups to meet, you know.
You're welcome to use a conference phone, too. If you want to meet in the hall, most of them have the conference call phone, so if they can't get away from their office, you can log them in.
I think there's a few over where I am, too, that I can use.
Do we have any ability on campus to do a multi-person conference call where we all dial in and
yeah.
And we're
a small charge for it.
Oh, okay.
But if you have, like, I have conference phone now, so I can conference in 6 people on my phone.
Oh.
So I just conference in and do a I'm sorry.
5 other outgoing calls. Wow.
I thought everybody had
up to 5.
Conference call. I have the same feature.
Up to 5 more people.
Yeah.
Not every, you have to look at yours and see if it has conference on it, and then how many calls you can make.
Getting conference dial.
Yeah.
Is this just part of the Cornell digital phone service?
Yeah.
Well, then I guess I might have it too. I have a conference button.
I don't know if your phone is set up for it. I don't have it.
I don't have
one. That's not like I do.
I'm a computer guy. I don't use the phone.
Actually,
you
got a tin can.
Mabel, can you get me?
I'd be grateful if you have to dial up.
Actually, make you walk.
You might be worth thinking about getting a dial-in number for the EA and all its committees. Like you're talking about, there are services that are pretty nominal. Where if we had the permission to call in, and everybody, and then you call in, and then you get caller one is on the line, caller two is on the line, and it's done.
Yeah, and they can be combined with a on-screen webinar on your computer. Where you
can go to meeting. A lot of people are using other versions of that.
Some of them are.
Okay.
I also would add,
my concern for the communications committee is thinking about your own committee and thinking about how we could better communicate to see if there's an inexpensive or even free way to have conference quality.
How many people can dial in on this? Just one of the
octopus?
It's got to be more than one person.
I mean, I've had 4 on conference calls we've had, so.
Ned hit us.
We get more than 4, it's kind of hard to hear people.
I like the idea of asynchronous communication too, which would be offline also. And I think we used to oftentimes meet, because we were spread across the state, we'd meet at a start-off meeting. But then we'd use, in this case, Lotus Notes, because it was the thing at the time. But like right now, Google Wave, you ever use that?
Mm-hmm.
Or that's another one that it's free. And it's obviously Google.
Okay.
But you can have separate groups. We could have, for EA, we could create separate groups if you wanted to meet asynchronously or even synchronously,
right.
You can share a whiteboard between computers and you can, so I could be writing on something to get your ideas, or I could it's like Google Docs next step,
okay,
collaboration basically.
So can't you like OneNote that way as well?
I don't know that, but I'm
is that called Google Wave?
Mm-hmm. That's a new one.
I'm looking to it.
Mm-hmm. But anyhow, I mean, that's how we used to work all the time at NYSIG because it is difficult to get together. But it does, I do agree that it does take some face to face to get stuff going and to come back together.
It's better either just have a regular set schedule, like every second Wednesday we meet. It's probably one or the other, you know. So, I mean, I think we're all here because we're always here every 2 weeks or whatever. It is. You know what I mean? We're used to that being in our schedule.
Well, and you can set that schedule and then say, you know what, we don't have anything to go on. We can cancel this.
Yeah.
Right. I like kind of that. You get your quarterly meeting and then virtually in between.
Yeah, yeah. Some of both.
Oh, I know, and I can kick off some of this through email. We've established some services for the EA that we hope to use, and I think it needs some discussion on how we're going to implement. Like, I have a Facebook page. I have a Facebook group. I have the Cornell blog service registered with EA. I have a EA Lyris listserv set up as well. There's all these services that are all reserved in our name, ready for us to use in our communication outreach.
See, that's what I need, though. I need an overview of all of those things.
I have no idea. But none of them are actively used yet. They're just set up,
right,
but we need to discuss how we're going
to... Right, to know all those things.
Right. Oh, and Confluence as well.
We do have a Confluence site.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I've rolled out to everybody yet. We're going to start it with agenda planning, but yes, we have that to be able to do as well. So if anybody has a committee that they'd like to post stuff on the Confluence site, I can get you set up with that with our one site. I'd like to try to keep much of our internal communication things on Confluence on one site rather than having all these different sites so that it's a little easier to manage for successors to manage this kind of stuff. Confluence is a really great tool. I've used it in two different departments now. It's great for documentation and sharing and archival of all of your wisdom.
The least painful scheduling application that I've found so far is a website called Doodle. And you basically can email it to anybody and they put it in their schedule and say when they're available. And then it summarizes by column when the most people are available.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than D-O-D-L-E, just Doodle.
Doodle.
And so I emailed 60 people this morning trying to organize a schedule, so maybe in the next week I'll find out.
So you log into the site and you black out when you're not available and then
or when you are.
Oh, okay.
Like, so you just say a block of times. Here, I'd like to schedule a meeting in this week. Which times are good for you? And then there's a nice graphic and gives you a count number and says here is when the most people are available.
When does it do that? After a set number of days or something?
The
or?
Administrator, you don't have to have an account or anything. You can set each one up on demand, and you can just log in and see the current status.
Huh.
So.
Interesting. I haven't heard of that one.
With the coming of exchange, we'll use counts.
That would be really nice, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does the exchange have that kind of functionality to do the kind of spontaneous meeting?
Okay.
Yeah.
But Doodle why is not simple.
You used it too?
Yeah. Just for short,
small,
non-homogeneous groups, yes.
Okay. So, Gary, we've been talking some about the communications. Do you have some specific things about internal communications?
Yeah. Quick question, though. Is anyone here on iCal yet? Anyone using that?
With the Mac?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have it. I don't use it. Yeah.
Anyway. It sucks, Mary. Anyways, the
why are you using
Mary? Mary?
You're on Oracle.
Yeah, yeah. But now we're going back on Oracle. So I do a lot of Google alerts, and I do college and university employee assemblies. So when stuff pops up, I get all these stories from around the country what people are doing on other campuses, and it just strikes me when I read this stuff that we're just not. My opinion, I think we're just using about half our potential as an employee assembly, and that we could be doing a lot better. And I think that one of the things we can do better is communicate internally mm-hmm. with each other as far as what we're doing. I mean, I just found the stuff that you just shared with about the mm-hmm. management yeah. stuff interesting, you know. And then I think we all need to do a better job of communicating with our colleagues. I think we need to have a better sense of constituent services and think of ourselves almost like we're members of Congress or something mm-hmm. and that we're going home on the weekends to visit with the folks and hearing what they're doing. And that's the sort of stuff we need to bring to the table and be a little more available and accessible to our colleagues and let them know there's a voice for them. And then I hope our e-newsletter gets off the ground okay and has some legs and lasts forever, you know. And then the last thing is the leadership of the Employee Assembly meets with the Vice President of Human Resources on a regular basis, and I think it would be good if the, not just this chair and vice chair, but future chairs and vice chairs, let the EA know, hey, I'm meeting with the Vice President of Human Resources next week. Do you have anything you've seen or heard that she might need to know about? And just have that be a regular pro forma thing so that you feel like there's a good conduit between here and the administration, and then the chair and the vice chair now and in the future reports out in the aftermath. Yeah, followed up on that question you had regarding blank, and that there's this sort of like seamless internal communications so that we're thinking about the EA at least once every day. We're doing something for the EA at least once every day, and that we're communicating with each other honestly, professionally, and with the bottom line objective of really representing the people who need a voice, some of whom are still kind of frightened about where things are at the university. So that's it.
Well, I have one observation that I've always felt, and it goes back to this ad hoc charter committee. I think your analogy is apt with respect to being a representative going back to their home, but what we're missing in that is the constituency. Like I'm the non-exempt, I don't know, CALS representative, yep. some such thing. We don't, until that's fixed, I feel...
Yep.
that we're hamstrung. Because I go back to Sizer, I go when I was here, I was at Day Hall. Obviously, Tanya's done a great job going back to the Schwartz Center and that, but that's not really our constituent. That's where we work, and that's what we do. And the people in my building know a lot more than the people in EHOB know because I'm in Sizer. But until that constituency issue is fixed, mm-hmm. I'd be curious to see the ones that are working more with more potential that you're talking about, how their constituency, how they're organized, mm-hmm. how are they actually reporting back, and what is the structure, what accountability, who's holding them accountable, and how are they communicating? So if they're doing it, are they doing it in a vacuum? I almost feel like what we do is somewhat in a vacuum.
And yeah, a lot of it's electronic. A lot, you know.
But we're dealing with everybody. That's too broad. And even the newsletter, which I think is a great idea, is just everybody. There's no, you know, home constituent where we could go back and
yeah.
sort of sub-notify, hey, the EA has this great new thing,
right.
check it out. That's what I think we're missing structurally, yeah. is that constituency.
When I think constituency, for at least right now, I'm thinking every employee, every staff member at Cornell University is our constituent.
Right.
So you're in the Sage atrium and you're having coffee with five or six guys, some of whom don't work, you know, in your unit. But picking their brains about what their issues are, what their concerns are, where they work. I mean, we're small enough right now that we can't represent every corner of the university.
Wow.
So we just have to kind of hustle to make up.
That's what I'm wondering. What sort of structure works best at a place this large, this decentralized, to have that? I agree with you, and I know I've seen you in operation. You're great at schmoozing with everybody that you've run into. Not all of us have that, either A, the schmoozability, a New York sense. And the access and being out there. A lot of people are more, you know, local than localized, shall I say,
right,
than
sure.
Gary Stewart is. So it's,
right.
you know, just an observation.
Well, I think what you said before with Gary suggested, you know, with the what's going on with the ad hoc charter review and looking at that, how that can be, you know, improved.
Yeah,
I think that will make a big difference.
Yeah, that's the next step.
Well, the one thing that I was going to say in the interim, until we have that new structure,
sure.
which, you know, we're hoping to start thinking about next year, but realistically, we may not have 33 members next year. That
we could look to implement something now, like, okay, so say I work in the College of Arts and Sciences, so I would make it my responsibility as an EA rep to go to, what's her name, Jane Peterson, and Sarah Strickland, the HR manager over there, and say, I want to once a week give you updates on what's going on with the employee assembly, and I'm going to ask you to disseminate that to the arts and sciences department managers who are going to disseminate it to their offices. And then I would ask that, you know, if they have anything to come back with, they can bring it back to create the chain. And someone else does that for human ecology, and someone else does
I can do that through HR council. All the people you just talked about
so
are there. All the HR managers of every college and unit.
So that right. So then they trickle it down, and it becomes a tree.
Get that. Mary controls, or Betsy Schreier, but the agenda of the HR council. So that might be a lot of your comment next. You know, if we want to do that.
How often do they meet?
Every 2 weeks.
Didn't we?
On Wednesdays.
And wasn't there an idea in past meetings about us presenting to?
No, that was another one, I think, a quarterly
meeting.
The HR Council? No,
quarterly. I thought I remembered that.
The HR Council or some other group?
It was the HR Manager.
Well, this is only the leadership. You know, it's like 16 people or so. Mm-hmm. And who are the HR, you know, Sarah Strickland. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe it was something different. Though. They have
it was only a quarterly.
Or an annual orientation or something.
Yeah, it's like a bigger thing. Yeah.
But, you know, if we want to decide that somebody should present periodically to the HR council, that's a way to...
I think that's the way to...
That, you know, we discuss, you know, the next leader meeting if we have a sense that that's a good communication. Since she controls the agenda of that, we say, can we get on your agenda to... you know, to bring the HR council members up to speed on issues periodically, whatever we're on.
I think we also have the awareness issue that some people don't even know that we exist.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope the email newsletter will start to change that. I mean, we have to make ourselves known, and then people need to know how to reach us. And then people have to have the need to reach us. So it's like every time you drop down the tier, your numbers are going to go less and less. I mean, one of the things that Mary Opperman, for instance, cautioned us on when we start sending out email to all employees that we represent, she said, you will get replies in your email, the email. And you're going to need to answer those. Well, I would agree. So we're talking about like, well, so are we going to rotate this responsibility quarterly to someone like, okay, when we send out an email to thousands of people, there may be 100 or so replies asking questions or follow-up items to what we've had in the newsletter. Somebody needs to reply to those.
Can't do it like I get a lot of emails that you cannot reply to this one. Just kidding.
Yeah, well, we talked about that. I mean, but I think it would be of service for us,
yeah, no,
too. You know, we're not going to explicitly say, hey, feel free to reply to this email and ask us anything you want, but it's there for somebody to do so.
I'm wondering if... Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
I just kind of on that same line, I really thought that the idea of having meetings around campus, starting with Trillium instead of here all the time, is a great idea, even if we can somehow advertise like 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time, hey, we're having a meeting in your building. It's open. Please come. I think that would be awesome. I mean, we're always here in the same spot. Maybe there's people up, you know, in Sizer who just can't come, can't be here because of the time. But if we're there, maybe they come, you know?
Yeah, I think it really needs to be targeted because, you know, we've gotten on the Cornell homepage, today's meeting's been on there for, like, 2 weeks. So if people aren't...
People,
they're not going to come here. You know,
but if we're in Trillium, they might. And if we target, if you tell all your fellow employees we're having this meeting, we'd like you to come, then, you know, then we'll get maybe some.
At least, even if we start in our own areas, I mean, I could easily do that in AAP and, you know.
Yeah. Some of that has been done in the past, but there also has to be a reason. There's got to be, you know, so why am I going, what's in it for me? We've done some of these meetings all over campus, and I think we should continue to do that again.
But there's got to be something, you know, it's just not the mundane business of the day. There's got to be a hook to get people in there.
Yeah. Right. I've been on a lot of different committees before, and I'm on the public education initiative committee. When I first joined it, this group is meeting at the country club. I'm like, what the hell are we doing sitting here at the country club? And so then we just started meeting at elementary schools. And we're not, you know, we're sitting in Enfield elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
So then you ask the person whose building we're in, okay, so we're in Sizer or whatever, to come by and talk to us for 5 minutes and say, hey, I'm blank, you know, I'm the manager of this. Here's what we do in this building. We're learning something along the way. So it's not just some come watch us meet. So they're hosting us in their building, and you know, we get some information.
That's good. I like that.
From it. And so if nothing else, Leanne, we come out of there with that. I mean, I think at the end of the day, mm-hmm. in terms of communications, word of mouth is always going to be the best thing. And I just think we have to ask ourselves as individuals, why am I on employee assembly? Mm-hmm. You know, what's my responsibility? And do I think it's important enough to say, you know, hi, I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm on the employee assembly. You know, and start that conversation. I mean, sure, the campus is big, but it's not that big, you know.
I think one of the things that might be, I don't know if this would be helpful, but maybe as in one of our meetings, we could really develop a protocol for more structured conversation with people within our divisions, which might include, you know, an actual kind of map of what that conversation would look like and what kinds of questions we might ask. In a way, we'd be conducting almost an evaluation or a survey, but doing it more on a friendly ad hoc basis, but also sort of creating a structure to help that. And if we practice that and make that into some kind of a protocol, perhaps it would be easier for some who are less smoothy or who, you know, it makes it so that it's something in the forefront of something that we would actually do instead of something that we would do casually. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, at least from my point of view, that would be helpful.
Well, I'm a believer in the adage, if it's not broken, break it. And I just think we really need to put the EA in a box and shake it up and then go for it. I mean, at a deal, like, and it's all about connections, too. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's worked at 301 yesterday called me up and said, the parking down here is insane. We have no place to park. And she said, what do you think? And I said, well, you know what? The employees who work downtown, they get their parking paid. I said, you know, if you want to,
really?
This is what I said. And I said, you need to form a little coalition down here in College Town and call my friend Tanya Gross and just go forward with that and offer strategies for people to figure out their way. But, you know, if you weren't on EA, I wouldn't know you. And so I was like, it's part of our job is making connections. And I don't think the schmoozability thing, I hear what you're saying. But, you know, everyone here had enough cojones to run for the stupid thing. I mean, we can at least say, I'm an employee assembly. What's going on in your life?
I can say that when we did that birthday card thing for Scorton, mm-hmm. I walked around and I walked into the law school and I walked into Goldsmith and I just said, hi. And, you know, I looked like a big dork with a big giant card. And that was enough to laugh. But I went in and I said, I'm Tanya Grove. I'm with the employee assembly. And, you know, we're doing blah, 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 blah. And it was interesting just to hear people, you know, just have that quick 30-second conversation. And I think we should go out and do more, and I hate to say it, it takes time, but face time with people. Just walk in, just randomly when you're walking across campus one day. Hi, I'm, you know, with the employee assembly, and can I tell you about it for 30 seconds? And, you know, if you ever need anything or you have any thoughts about things that we can do in general for the university.
Then we need a handout.
Oh, we're going to quarter turn and help out?
That's what we should. But, I mean, I think that we need to get our face out there more, and if we have any hope of having this 33-person employee assembly, nobody's going to run because nobody knows
right.
And nobody's right. interested. And
that's our problem. You know, that we can't blame it on anybody else. That's our challenge right now today. And we're working for future employee assemblies.
So I have something that I'll throw out here, and I know we briefly, I emailed it out to the exec group, but Gary's thrown out a thing about the United Way not having enough support. I threw out an idea of doing a campus-wide Bible drive. And it doesn't necessarily have to be for the United Way. It could be to put more money to the CARE Fund. It could be to support any of the other programs here on campus for staff. But that could be something that we could spearhead, that we would say, okay, you know, we're going to have a bottle drive and we're going to collect bottles on this day. and we're going to come around to buildings, and it's an EA thing, and we're going to get the word out, we're going to get some FaceTime, and maybe we do something fun like saying, the building that collects the most bottles gets a prize. And we'll donate some tickets from the theater, and, you know, we can get some other places to donate something, but that will be a way for us to get out, like the silent auction that used to happen for the CARE Fund. It's, I think, a way for the EA to have a face out there, and this can be a face. It doesn't cost people anything. It's essentially a half a day of picking up bottles.
My question is, what do you do with all the bottles?
Campus Cycle will help us, like they do with a food drive. You know, with food drive, and we'll take all the food down to Stewart Park.
What happens to bottles in camps now? Like there's recycle bins around.
Well, some buildings have recycle bins, but like our
they don't have deposits. Like they have recycle bins, but you're not actually depositing.
So what do you have people who pick up the bin and dump it in something else?
They go to the recycling, but they don't go. It's not the difference between the recycling and the deposit.
And the deposit.
Right. So that money just is currently.
Well, water bottles now in New York.
Well, who knows? I mean,
is there somebody getting that money?
Well, I think custodians a lot of times
just take them out.
Okay.
But it took us forever to get a bin. It took us forever to get a bin in our building. People just throw them out because nobody's going to take their soda can home with them.
Right.
So it's a way, and you just say, okay, a month from now, you know, collect your bottles, and in 1 month we're going to come around and we're going to pick them up and we're going to donate that money to X or Y or Z.
Right.
And, you know, we do it once, and then if it's successful, we say, oh, well, we're going to do it again in another 3 months, and we're going to give the money to this.
That's right.
That's an aside. I'll get the grounds people who have permission to actually tool around on the ground. You get one of their little carts, you get like a sign that EA, you know, 15, maybe when the weather clears a bit. And,
Put a tag on the back of it. It'll be fun.
No. And you can do it on slope day. And you collect all those water bottles that are now deposited.
Okay.
There's a lot of people who don't like to take their bottles and cans back, no matter how easy it is. I'm one of those people.
Oh, mine comes from the recycle bin.
Yeah.
Really? That's great.
Pepsi bottles?
I don't take them back for a deposit.
You just recycle them.
I just recycle them.
Yeah.
Ice cream social in the summer.
I think, the money should probably go to the CARE Fund.
Okay. Well,
let's move on from, in an idea, it can be explored more if somebody wants to spearhead it.
That's a good idea.
So is it an idea that people are willing to consider? Because I will put together some sort of
good
idea for it.
Yeah.
If you're interested in grad student buy-in or if you're looking at expanding CARE Fund or something, I'd be happy to do some liaison and be part of that conversation.
Or part of another group.
That'd be fun.
And the goal was to get our name out and raise money for the United Way?
For whatever. I mean, it could be for whatever, as long as it's, you know, some sort of cause that the university supports in some way. And you can just say this is an employee assembly thing. Or it could be, you know, employee assembly in GPSA or whatever.
Okay. I just had a comment getting back to the whole, the 33-seat EA. I almost feel like those people are going to have to be volunteers as opposed to running for seats. If we really want to get that many people to be involved, it's going to be hard enough to get two people. I mean, there's schools that have no one here, have thousands of employees, and it's almost like, I don't know, the whole running for office thing is not going to work, I think.
I think that before we kill it, I think we need to come up with a proposal.
I think I just sat in on a few of the meetings. It's first of all, the 33 are going to come out from some type of logical units some are going to be combined, and then there will be local elections for those people. So like if engineering is large enough to have two representatives, they hold their own election for those two representatives. And if they don't want to hold their election, then their seats sit vacant.
Or they appoint them.
I mean, they could probably do it by appointment or election, I guess. It all depends. But
we got this mapped up pretty good. But
I think it's too soon to jump in. Now.
Right. Those questions are answered in the bulk of this plan we got working on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and I guess...
No, we're still on communications, and then we've just got.
So, should we talk about the electronic newsletter and how the format for that, or
Yeah, I was. Does anyone have any? Let's just pause a second. Does anybody have any old business or new business?
Do you want to talk about Leon?
Are those
new business
posters for you?
Yeah.
So do you want to mention?
These are posters. These are Soup and Hope. And mm-hmm. what I'm hoping is that everybody will take some of these back to your units today.
Yeah.
And these are quarter cards for them as well. So these will appear on the table for everybody to take with them.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you'll start seeing these, up all over campus. But these are for you all to take. Hopefully you'll take all of them.
Yeah. You've never been. Go. It's wonderful.
It is.
Yeah.
The only other thing in new business real quick, are we interested in inviting any guest speakers in regarding the Marcellus Shale matter or not? It's something to think about. You don't have to answer now, but there are some Cornell folks.
The fracking.
Hydrofracking, oil drilling.
Like that person.
No.
I was like, who? Famous rock musician.
Yeah, I just don't know.
So we don't have to. I'm just throwing this out right now. We'll talk about it at another meeting.
Okay.
But there are some.
The university assembly is entertaining all that right now, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But anyway,
think about it.
Yeah.
Is there any other announcements or anything before we just wrap up with the last few minutes of talking about the.
I'll send an email out about this to all of you.
Okay.
You can let me know your thoughts.
So, but would that mean the EA would take a stand on fracking?
No, it would mean the EA would just learn more about what's going on.
We should have that guy who was just in the newspapers the other day. Did anyone see that?
Yeah.
He was standing in front of the Broome County Health Department?
Yes.
Cornell graduate?
Yeah.
If we want to get someone to talk to us, he would be the man.
Okay. He would be one of them.
But then what do we do with that information?
Talk about it later.
We'll talk about it another time.
So we have five more minutes.
I just wanted to put it in.
So
don't bring up the fracking.
Not the fracking.
So Gary, do you want people to like come back and each contribute something for the first newsletter, or
are you
keeping a running list so far until the end of the
year? No, but I'm willing to be the editor of the newsletter if you guys want me to, just in terms of a point person who can be like a clearinghouse and then move things along, meet deadlines, and then have a nice clean product that we're all happy with. I think if we try to publish by committee, we're going to have problems.
No.
And we're not going to meet deadlines. And how we get out of the gate on this thing is really important so that everyone's happy with the point. Those guys really set it up sharp. And then we get two or three under our belt, and then it's just like clockwork.
So what I'm kind of thinking is that every little item in the news email will be limited in how much is printed in there, and then there will be a read more link, which will go to our blog, where we'll then keyword everything, and everything will be... So the blog will be the continuing, ongoing archive of everything that we talk about in this newsletter.
Well,
but that's going to take some structure to figure out how that those two things can work together.
Yeah, I mean, the prototype that I've developed is this. So first of all, everything's on a screen, so there's no scrolling. You can have a screen of information on that set. There's a lot of link. You know, I was thinking like links to stuff. So say we pitch that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, Super Hope is a little of us for more information, blank. Or we talk about what Alan mentioned earlier today.
Right.
And you get six bullets, and you don't worry about trying to capture everything in every issue because you're not gonna. It's just clean. It's not overwhelming for someone who's getting 150 emails every day. And it's like, okay, that's nice. I appreciate them doing that. And you go after it like, we're going to be doing this for 20 years. You know, this isn't like a one-shot deal. And you're just steady and professional and sharp.
No, I think it's sustainable because it's four times a year. You know, and once we get the February one out, somebody will continue to keep a list of, okay, that's going in the next newsletter. And then by the time it's ready to go, you know, you make your final edits, format it, do what you need to do, get the latest employee list from HR, process it, put it into the system, and send out the email.
What I can do is, like, I can make, like, a calendar that we can all have in terms of when deadlines are, things like that. So we're all on the same page. I'm not going to be chasing down people for contributions, either want to or not. Leanne, I just got anything for me today.
it's your turn to write for paw print.
Leanne's tracking insights.
I have my no frack sign in my yard.
Well, maybe by the end of this month we could all have our article submissions in. Is that good?
I'll run the prototype by folks again and give you some idea of at least what I'm thinking about. And this is like bullet points, basically, you know, and linking to other stuff.
And will we be summarizing some of, like, if we have a guest speaker or something?
I think we could, but I think it'd be more important to, like, look ahead. So say, like, you know,
when our next meeting is.
Yeah, and this is what we're talking about. And we're going to be over at Sizer and whatever.
Also, I would
unless somebody said something profound.
Well, like, I mean, I don't know. I think it's because, I don't know, there's a kind of a difference between, like, a calendar of what the employee assembly is doing and a newsletter.
Right.
You know, so I think we get off a little easier during a calendar because there's really not much, right, like you said, there's not much writing to do. But I also think, so then are we really serving our employees by doing that, though? They want to know what we're doing for them.
Right.
Like, so what have we been working on for them?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Gary was talking about a calendar for us getting the information in for the newsletter.
Right, but also I think the first prototype seemed a little calendar-y.
But maybe I think something that would be great in there is like when Mike Powers came and talked to us and he talked about all the savings. So maybe there's a little blurb, you know, employee assembly met with Mike Powers on blah, blah, blah. And then you click on the link to see all the things that have happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or say someone came and showed us a PowerPoint. And then we got the PowerPoint. And then we said, you know, recently, Time to Grow came to employee assembly and review blah, blah, blah.
Okay. I just don't want you to get stuck doing all that. So do you want to assign people to that? That's kind of what I'm thinking about. Like
so let's talk more about it in email and talk about who can contribute what and what the progress is.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you're just going to see things that are saying, boy, I want to get that in the newsletter.
Do we need to attend the meeting or not?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And then let's continue the conversation in email. Oh, our deadline is the last week in February. So we're going to start with the structure, the template, and start to fill in the real items that will go into that newsletter. And we'll talk a little bit more from email, and we'll have another meeting before that.
So.
Yes, at our last meeting, we voted on doing a quarterly email to all employees that we represent.
Four times a year.
Yeah.
And what would be the team?
What then?
What are we going to put in the newsletter? Like, what's happening in the EA?
Yeah, or maybe some key deadlines that we just want to remind employees about. Stuff that's going to be of general interest.
And I would just think that, as Gary being the editor, that he would have a prerogative to use something or not as he sees fit. Just because something is submitted doesn't mean automatically it will be put in the newsletter.
We don't want to give Gary all that power.
And then, you know, we want to be thinking about what this thing looks like.
Can you believe it?
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Maybe we can
second. This meeting is adjourned 1:31 p.m. Thank you, everyone.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.